Yeah, I'm back. Whatever. Stupid. All right, so I got a chair, and I'm sitting in a chair in my bedroom still. Yeah, because the bed thing wasn't working. It's when I drew it out on my on some blue like blueprint like architect paper stuff. It seemed like a great idea. Lying down, recording, luxuriating while reading. Maybe it takes some of the sting off this terrible reading, but it doesn't work in practice. It's pretty much a pain. So, sitting in a regular chair. I guess I could tell a little cat story just because we're going to get into the reading and there's nothing. So, I'm not going to tell a cat story. That's boring. Let's just do the reading. It's not interesting anyway. I'll tell you the punchline. The cat was in a... We couldn't find the cat. All right, I'm telling a stupid cat story. We couldn't find the cat. I don't let him into the bedroom area. It's like the bedroom and the bathroom are like cut off. You know, there's like a couple doors that... It's like a walk-around-y thing that's cut off. But anyway, I don't let him in that area because there's like he just ruins everything. And I just... I don't know. We keep things that are ruinable in there. Like our dreams. Just ruins all our dreams, so we keep them locked away in the bedroom. And but I had it open sometimes, like if I'm watching him, I'll let him in there or whatever, if I, you know. And so I just had to get my girlfriend, or I had to let her into the gate or whatever. That's why there was a column last episode, and she came home, so I stopped. Well, I was done with the episode anyway, but so I had the stuff open because I came out, we were talking and stuff, and then at one point I heard a noise the cat was making that was like not a normal noise. Not the cat, but like I knew he was into something wrong. You know, it wasn't like a normal, oh, he's playing with something. It was some weird noise. So I yelled at him and it stopped. And then a few minutes went by and then I was wanting to record again. So I was like, all right, I got to get the cat out of the bedroom area. So I went in there. I couldn't find him. And then I was like, well, did he already leave? So I was checking the other rooms. And then I got enlisted Lydia. And we couldn't find the cat anywhere. And which is not normal. He has a few key spots he goes to. And then right when I go to him, he runs out because he knows he's not supposed to be in there. Just years of beatings has, you know, really trained his mind. No, he just knows. He knows when he's doing something wrong. And he does it anyway. But he tries to get away with it for as long as he can. And so we couldn't find him anywhere, though. And then I started doing the tricks that I do to get him out, which is I go to his food bowl and just shake it. Even though if there's nothing in it, I just shake his food bowl. And then he usually just goes, you know, runs out there. But no, it didn't work. And I was like, geez, I got to bring out the big guns. So I went to the closet that has his cat food in it. And then, you know, that's normally like I was thinking maybe he was dead at this point because it was like I had a scoop of cat food, like I was like shaking it. I was like, "This is normally he'll stop whatever he's doing." You know, sometimes he's no matter what he's in the middle of, he'll come and watch me, keep an eye on me while I get his cat food. But he wasn't, and then finally when I was shaking it, we heard some weird noise again, and it was very bizarre noise. And I was like, did you hear that? And she said, yeah. And so I went, started looking for him. And then we saw his head peeking out of a drawer of a dresser, of my girlfriend's dresser, like just barely, you know? And I guess she had like, when she was looking for him the first time, she shut the drawers of her dresser and he was in there. She didn't know, you know? And so he got superhuman or super cat strength because of the cat food shaking and just like pried the drawer open. Like, just barely got his head. I don't know how he did it. It was just, he was so, like, you know, cats hear food. It's like, nothing can stop them. They can lift a car. So he got out, but he couldn't escape. He was, like, stuck in the dresser. It was really funny. So there's this cat just kind of his head poking out. He's just like, meow, meow. So that's my boring. That's the only interesting thing you're going to hear on this episode. And, yeah, that's the pinnacle of interestingness that you're going to hear. So. Give you an idea how bad this is. All right, so we ended did 19. Now we're gonna, I'm checking my numbers here. We're gonna go through, we are going to go through 24, the entire series 24. That's what we're doing. All right, so start with chapter 20. Buttercup was raised on a small farm. The Bible by S. Morgan Stern, chapter 1. Oh, I don't know if I've told you, but I know I was into Princess Bride before it was cool. I grew up on that movie, and when I was like 10, back in the 90s or something, I watched it just like every friggin' day one summer. I know every line of that movie pretty much. It's been several years since I've watched it, but I love that movie. Princess Bride by S. Morgan Stern, chapter 1. And it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time, I didn't think this through, I don't have any light here. The time that kings go out to battle, Joab led forth the power of the army and wasted the country of the children of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem, and Joab smote Rabbah and destroyed it. Smote it and destroyed it. Which is apparently two different things. I don't know. One or the other would have sufficed. And David took the crown of their king from off his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold. And there were precious stones in it and was set upon David's head. And he brought also exceeding much spoil out of the city. And he brought out of the people... Oops. He brought out the people that were in it and cut them with saws, ew, and with harrows and iron and with axes. Wow. Even so dealt David with all the cities of the children of Ammon, and David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. And when it came to pass after this that there arose a war at Gezer with the Philistines, at which time Sibichai the Hushilite slew Sippai that was of the children of the giant, they were subdued. There was war again with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, slew Lami, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, whose spear staff was like a weaver's beam. And yet again, there was war at Gath, where, was a man... I'm convinced no one's ever read this book. No one has ever read the Bible. I'm just declaring it. Hey, if anyone has told you they've read the Bible, they're lying. No one's actually... They might have read the New Testament. They might have read the first four books or whatever, you know, and said like, oh, yeah, I read the Old Testament. But no one's read this. If they have read it, their eyes were glazed over and they were just kind of like zombie reading it. This is just, it's not readable. It's not something that a person could read. So I don't believe that anyone's ever done it. All right. Some crap happened. And yet again, there was war at Gath, where was a man of great stature, whose fingers and toes were 4 and 20, 6 on each hand. Wow, what a coincidence. I haven't been reading ahead or whatever. This is the six-fingered man, although he has 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. You do not by any chance happen to have 6 fingers on your right hand. Yeah, it's been... Yeah, anyway, I don't want to go on to that. This episode's going to take forever, as it is. It's been 20 years now, and I'm starting to lose confidence. Let's see. Not much money in the revenge business. I just work for Visenya to pay the bills. Speaking of Mandy Patinkin, Homeland, everyone watch that. It's a great show. I've watched it twice all the way through in the last, like, month, because it's so friggin' good. Mandy Patinkin, really good. Really good in it. So the six-fingered giant man, but when he, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die, six-fingered giant man. But when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, slew him. These were, I was going to do it then. So Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, is like, hello, my name is Jonathan, son of Shemaiah. You did not slay my father. But you have 6 fingers on your hands and 6 toes on your feet. Prepare to die. Begin. No, he doesn't say that. He says that in the other part. But anyway, these were born under... I should just go through that movie. It's infinitely more interesting than anything we're going to read here. Even me doing that movie has got to be more interesting. Even that, which is not interesting, has got to be better than this. These were born under the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. I do not suppose he could have speed things up. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David This is not as easy as it looks, so unless you're going to lower a rope or tree branch or something, I suggest you, you're just going to have to wait. That's what he says. David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times, so many and more as they be. But, my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab, and therefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Excuse me, I'm burpy. Princess Bride does that to me. No, it doesn't. It's probably that coffee earlier. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men. What? 1,000,000 and 100,000. So it's 1,000,000 and 100,000. Is that what they're saying? Just say that. That drew sword. And Judah was 430,000 men, the true score. True sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. I know we've read all this, but this isn't ringing any bells just because I'm not paying attention at all. And I don't remember the Princess Bride being being in it last time. That could be part of it. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose one of them that I may do it unto thee. Oh, I remember this. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine. I like this little quiz he's going to do. Well, it's not really a quiz, it's just the options. All right, here's your punishment. I'm going to give you 3. God was feeling a little playful on that day. He's like, I'm going to give you a choice in your smiting here. So anyway, 3 years famine, 3 months to be destroyed before their foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. Yeah. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me now, what the hell? I'm in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent pestilence. The Lord's like, I think that means pestilence. Did someone order pestilence? And the Lord, where is it? I instantly lose my spot because of this stupid book. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel. And there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel into Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord said, yeah, I'm just destroying here. What? What do you want? The Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord is like, well, are you sure? Because once I start destroying, I continue destroying until everything's destroyed. Are you sure you want me to stop? I'm in the middle, right in the middle of a good batch of destroying. He said, yeah, go ahead and stop. And David lift up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand etched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? The people must have felt like both grateful but kind of insulted. Well, thank you for taking responsibility, but why do you have to refer to us as sheep? I mean, we have personalities, we have desires. We're not just sheep. I mean, again, thanks for taking responsibility for something you did, but He's like, why do you blame these sheep, these idiot people? Come on, they're morons. You can't blame them. What have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him and hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out to the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord.
Yeah. I shall grant me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people.
And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee another guy used as lo. God. Awesome. I wish I could do that. I'd never remember. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for meat offering. I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. This is not what happened, but this is what they wrote down. I think David just went and stole everything, just killed him, just did whatever. And he's like, oh, hey, you writing this down? You're writing this down? Hey, why don't you write that I paid him for everything, and like, he wanted to give it to me, but I was like, oh, no, I'll pay you, write that. Can you write that? Okay, good. All right. And King David said to Ornan, so David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David, unfortunately, a shekel weighs like, less than a feather. So it's not very, if he'd done it by volume or something, that's good. But shekels by weight is nothing. He screwed him. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering, were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. What did I say I was reading? 24. Okay. We're on 22 now. Then David said, there wasn't enough Princess Bride in that last chapter, I gotta say. I could use more of it. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord thy God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance, for the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnifical. That is awesome verbiage there. Exceeding magnifical. Of fame and glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever, or until I see fit, which will be in about a year.
Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Oh, my back. Oh, my back. Yeah, this book, it's killing my back. It's not the chair, it's the book. Oh, where was I? Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses. I like when people say Moses. Sort of like how people from Texas say Texas. It's like, it's not Texas, it's like two Tex. It's like the plural of Tex. Oh, Texas. No, it's a Texa. Yeah, Texas. Whatever. Anyway, that's how people say it. They were from Texas. I don't know why, it's kind of weird. Yeah, what the hell was I talking about? I don't remember. What did I just say that reminded me of that? Where was I? Wisdom, standard, you charge. Oh, Moses. Yeah, Moses. Moses, would you mosey on over there? Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and be of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I've prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and a talent show that we're going to put on, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning for men, for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Yeah, be doing. That's a good, I like the little phrase. Hey, 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 chop, chop, be doing. Come on, come on. You got brass everywhere. You got workers. You got to get, come on, get going. Get to work, buddy. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you, and hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built in the name of the Lord. All right. Oh, okay, 23. 24 looks like it's a bunch of names, so that one might not be a big deal. Am I doing this right? Gotta be 220. Is that right? 220? Yeah, 25. I think that's right. It's 219. Maybe it's there. 220. Yeah, okay. Sorry, figuring out some page numbers. I'm gonna take a swig of water here. Give you my word as a Spaniard. No good. Know too many Spaniards. Is there any way you'll trust me? Nothing comes to mind. I swear on the soul of my father. You'll reach the top of life. What does he say his name? Domingo Montoya. You'll reach the top of life. Throw me the rope. Anyway, that's, yeah, okay. Just had to sneak some Princess Bride into here. 23. So, when David was old and full of days, full of days, I like that. I'm going to say that to the next old guy I see. Boy, you are full of days. Aren't you just full of days, you? He made Solomon his son king over Israel. I was going to make a joke, and then I forgot midway through the word I was trying to remember, and that kills every joke. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their polls, man by man, was 38,000. Of which, does that mean 38,000 or 8,030? 38,000. I don't know. I guess it's the 38,000. It's got to be. Otherwise, it's not enough. Of which 24,000 were set forward to forward the work. Sorry, were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instrument which I made, said David, to praise therewith.
And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Of the Gershonites were Ladan and Shimei. The sons of Ladan, the chief was Jehiel and... Oh, okay, this is some crap I don't care about. Sons, yeah, it's all lineage. These were the sons of Levi, no? Okay, yeah, that's all the sons of Levi. After the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers, as they were counted by number of names by their polls, that did the work for the service of the house of the Lord from the age of 20 years and upward. So these are just some invoices and work, you know, work papers that were important to include in case you ever need to know who did what work, you know, who needs to get paid, in case some of the accounts aren't settled. You know, let's put in God's perfect book just in case you're in charge of accounts payable and you come across these little invoices here. I don't know what the hell's the point of this. For David said, the Lord God of Israel hath given rest unto his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also unto the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any vessels of it for the service thereof. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above. Because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all the holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the shewbread and for the fine flour for meat offering, and for the unleavened cakes, and for that which is baked in the pan, and for that which is fried, and for all manner of measure and size. And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in Sabbaths, in the new moons, and on the set feasts by number, according to the order commanded unto them, continually before the Lord, and that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the holy place, and the charge of the sons of Aaron their brethren in the service of the house of the Lord. End of 23. Whew. Done. 23 was a quick one. 24 could be even quicker. Could be even quicker. Okay. Just trying to see here. All right. Okay. 21. Those are the freaking eels. Oh, no, that's that's a joke I made with my brother. So those are the shrieking eels, but we started saying, those are the shrieking eels. Started saying, those are the freaking eels. Just watch that part and imagine Peter Falk saying, those are the freaking eels. Ah, he goes, Grandpa, you read that part already. Oh, I did. Sorry. Where was I? The eel begins to charge her, and then... Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. Oh, I don't need to read any of this. And the rest of the sons likewise cast lots. Yeah, I don't need to read this special lineage crap. Who cares? All done. All right, that's done. Chapter 24. All done. What time is it? Yeah, I actually ran out of time tonight. Okay, I meant to record more than this, but it took me so long to get set up, because it always does. But guys, when I move, which is in 2 weeks, roughly, two weeks and like 3 days, which is going to be the... And I'm putting in my 2 weeks notice on Monday, because that's when I'm starting my job, 2 weeks from then. I am going to be in a new place with a separate bedroom that's going to be for my little studio for recording, and it's going to be constantly set up. So I'm not going to have to go through a bunch of setup bullshit every time. It's going to make it way easier to record. I'm going to get a nice comfy chair. I can't wait. So that's another reason why I kept thinking I was about to move, because like we kept trying to do it and it just, you know, anyway, it's finally all set in stone. So that was another reason I kept not recording, because I was like, well, I don't want to set up all this crap again and then take it down. And then, you know, so I wanted to wait till then, but I decided it was too urgent. I needed to do it. But in 2 weeks, I'm going to have such a badass place. Well, more like 3 weeks. It's going to take a while to set up. And then it's going to be much easier. Just pop in, record my sods, you know. I'm going to try to get Sam in there to do some F this, because F this rules. It's really funny. It's just whenever Sam is so busy. He's working day and night, and he has a newborn kid and a 3-year-old kid who's like just as much trouble as a newborn. So he's dead, but I'm hoping, cause I'm moving like right next to him, or like, you know, 5 miles away. Cause right now I'm about 80 miles away. So we'd always had to do it over Skype, but I'm hoping I can just sort of kidnap him and have him come over to my little studio. And that way he will be away from the kids, but you know, if he can spare it, if he can manage it. Anyway, so long story short, hopefully in a month I'll be recording F this, but I'll definitely be recording this show more regularly. So yeah, I'll try to get some more of these done soon, because I'm just reading through Chronicles because it sucks. This episode was only the second worst one I've ever done, though. I'd say it wasn't as bad as the last one. The last episode was the worst episode I've ever done in my life. But, you know, what are you going to do? All right, thanks, guys. I will talk to you later. Bye.